Welcome to How Did This Get Played, the show where we discuss the worst and weirdest and, well, that just happened as the video games of all time. That third W is by at Fungus Ice Cream. Submit yours at GetPlayedPod, hashtag WWW. I'm Nick. Why do we need a fourth wall anyway, Gurr?
I'm his co-host, Otenko! Otenko! Otenko!
And I'm Calorie Matt. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back, Bucket.
I took a big gulp of coffee before Calorie Matt.
You're chugging Java this late at night?
It's too late for me to be having coffee, but I brewed up a pot, and I didn't get to it earlier, and I didn't want to just dump it down the sink. So
you have fucking Java. Problems with sleeping, and I know this because I have problems with sleeping, and you're drinking coffee at night, dude.
It's a terrible idea. I'm regretting it as I'm drinking it, but anyway. Here we are. Hey, this episode may go all night. We got a lot to talk about.
Hey, we're not stopping recording until I don't know what happens, but when it does, we'll know. And we'll
until
stop.
Until we hit at least the 70-minute mark.
Oh,
because today we are concluding Hideo Kojimba, our month of Hideo Kojima games, by spending 70 minutes in Kojima heaven. Our fifth episode, our second consecutive
Kojima. Shouldn't that be Kojimba. Outer heaven? Shouldn't that be outer heaven?
Oh, fuck, that's better.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing, dude?
It's people did say that, and I didn't change it, because I don't bend to the suggestions of the kind listeners. I don't do it.
Well, I do. And I want to do 70 minutes in... What? We're going to get rid of this part?
We'll get rid of all this. We'll just take it clean from... And today we're spending 70 minutes in outer heaven. A nice
Nick,
reference, eh?
You're a genius.
The laughter here won't make any sense.
No, this is they good. They're all going to understand.
But before we spend 70 minutes in Kojima outer heaven...
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about a game. Can we talk about a game real quick?
Why not? Let's do a little, what are you playing?
Oh, we're getting right into it. I love it.
Well, guys, I'm playing Forza Horizon 5.
Wow.
And
yes.
First off, I had a big epiphany, which is that it is fast Death Stranding. All you're doing is if you think of Sam as a car, like Sam got turned into a car.
Yeah.
He's okay, just traversing so the landscape. That's all it is. And you have different goals based on who gives you a delivery. The delivery's in the trunk. It's just really, really fast Death Stranding.
Okay, can I ask you, because I played a lot of Death Stranding. I haven't played a Forza, really any of the Forza series, certainly not the new one. But where does the pee come out of the car?
Still his invisible human dick.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting decision.
Anyway, that was my big epiphany was there's so many people have so much of a problem with Death Stranding. Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's a subsection of gamers who are becoming increasingly hypnotized by it. And then there's a subsection of gamers who hate it more and more and more the longer it's been released. And all it is a slow racing game.
Mm-hmm.
Or Forza is a very fast Death Stranding. You even leave cars for other players. Like you can gift strangers in asynchronous online play vehicles that you find. How is that any different from going to the post box and dropping off materials for a fellow player?
I'll go a step further with this and also say that Forza Horizon 5, in a way, is a Strand game because you can see other players in the game that you're friends with in races all the time, and you're not necessarily playing with them. It's just their AI. So if they're playing it, they've played it already. They've played some. You're playing it now, and they're playing with you, but they're not actually doing it. And isn't that something?
Oh, you're seeing their ghost? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
No, they're like actually in the race. It's not like necessarily their ghost. It's like they're there, but they're not playing with you, really.
So it's an AI that's based off of the someone you play with online.
It'll have your gamer tag, your friend's gamer tag in it, and you'll be like, "Wow, that's my friend. That's my friend Jeff, or someone, or whoever."
Do you know if the times?
Does it drive? I'm sorry, real quick. Does it drive like your friend, or maybe that's what you were about to ask, Heather?
Yeah, I was going to ask if the times that those AI cars lock on that track, is that your time? Like, if you race against me, do you have to beat me, even though the AI is driving for me?
I think what's happened here is that question is complicated and it's making me sick. no, I mean, I think there is. I think both of those things are true, but not in the same instance. I think if I'm racing against you and you've done it already, I am racing against your time. But it's not. You're not always going to win that race if you've won it already.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can beat you still, even if you came in first in the race before. It's just that if I had a faster time than you, that's me beating you in the race.
Right. Mm. So overall. it's like ghost mode in Mario Kart or something where you're just trying to beat your own time trial.
Yeah. Yeah. No, sorry. I'm just going to mop up all this blood that fell out of my nose real quick trying to unpack that.
You can also make courses for your friends or make courses for other players. It's a strand game.
Wow. It's a strand game. It rocks. Yep. It's really fun.
Super fun.
We were lamenting that we wish we could import our own tunes. Just imagine listening to Low Roar driving around at like 190 miles an hour.
Do you guys, let me ask you this, based on, for my own self-interest, and maybe for anyone listening who's maybe less of a car, a vehicle person. I don't mind a vehicle in a game, but I don't like driving games, really. Like, I just don't like, maybe a kart racer, but there's not. Do you think, is there enough of a game here for someone who's like, racers, even arcade racers, I just don't really click with?
I absolutely think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I also have owned a handful of racing games in my life. I've owned some Burnout games, probably a Ridge Racer, maybe one Gran Turismo so I could show my dad how fancy the cars looked. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Like, I don't like a driving simulator. And even though I was emphatic about how much I liked driving in VR just a few weeks ago, I've stopped doing that.
Yeah.
But I've already on Forza, I've been like, this game, they fucking threaded the needle on this. Like, you can play a simulation style, exploration style, or you can play like racing, like hard arcade racing with checkpoints and AI or fellow players. I think it feels like the parts of Grand Theft Auto where you aren't on foot. Like, there's a real joy of just like going around,
and there's like points too that you can get for causing damage and stuff, or like style points for like drifting and things like that. But then there's also like the car management side of it where you can like tune your cars like how you want to tune them and stuff, and you're like you love menus.
Oh, I'm all about them.
Yeah, both physical and in games.
You get me a virtual menu inside a restaurant in a game. Yeah. I'm in hog heaven.
Your ideal game then would be like a VR The Cheesecake Factory. You would love it.
I couldn't get enough of that.
can you imagine doing a VR eating game where somebody's trying to synchronize putting food in your mouth as you lift your hand your own face?
That's a nightmare to me because I need to do that. That's the part that I need to do that. You can't put food in my mouth. I'm doing that.
Do you guys have more to say about Forza? Because I want to make sure we cover everything you want to talk about.
No, I think you can change subject here.
Because that brings me to, you were talking VR, and Matt and I both, in the past couple weeks since we recorded, picked up Oculus Quest 2s.
That's right.
For me, it was an impulse buy. It's the same way I got a Roomba, where I'd been thinking about getting a VR headset for a while, and I was at Costco and they had a bundle on sale, and I was like, oh, I was going to fucking get one anyway. And then I'm also rationalizing of like, it's almost the holidays. I mean, with the supply chain,
yeah,
I probably should get one now if I want one, like, because I might not be able to get one for a while. So I picked one up, and you don't want to necessarily praise anyone affiliated with the Meta Corporation, but it is a nifty piece of hardware. It is quite nice, and it's quite sleek, and even setting up PC as a PC VR headset was a little bit cumbersome, but not too tricky. Like, I was able to figure that out and figure it out like wirelessly. So I don't have to have a cable, hooked up to my USB-C port or whatever. So it's pretty, I'm pretty happy with it. And also it's also like upsetting. Like, it's like, I'm like using mm-hmm. it, like is in the same way Matt was describing blood pouring out of his nose. It's earlier. It's the same sort of sensation of like, I feel very, like, I feel like my mind is both expanding, but my reality is collapsing. I don't know. I feel a little unnerved. I couldn't use it for long stretches. But Matt, you also picked up one of these.
Yeah. So you described you getting it as an impulse buy, and I'm trying mm-hmm. to figure out what that means for me then, because you said you got one, and I said, okay, I'll get one too. Like, that's how, yes. That was the level of thought I put into it. You guys were like, Matt, you should get one. And I was like, okay, I guess that's not peer pressure. That was like, I don't know. I'm just following orders. Like, I just did it.
I feel like all three of us spend more on games related to this podcast than we make in a month.
Like, yeah, maybe. Certainly me. Because I got the, when you said, hey, the play date pre-orders are going live, I was like, I probably won't get that. And then you were like, I got one. And I was like, okay, I'll get that. I'll get one. Hopefully no one I know is like, hey, I'm buying stock in Raytheon or something like that, and the less I get on board as well. But the VR, like, yeah, the Oculus Quest 2, I had, I guess, no prior interest in getting it. It seemed like, as something I hadn't tried. To me, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, that's just maybe a novelty. Maybe this is like something that's not gonna really catch on. And truly, like, within minutes, I was like, this is like one of the best things I've ever bought. It's like, one, it's the UI is so nice. It's very, very well made. The fact that, because I don't have a PC, the fact that you can kind of just do it all in the headset, like,
yes,
that's standalone, is huge. Again, that's to me an incredible value as well. And I tried Beat Saber. And I tried Super Hot VR, which I'd said to you guys in our text thread that it's maybe my new favorite game. I love it. I'm obsessed with Super Hot. It's so, so good. And for those of you that don't know what it is, it's basically like a VR like action movie where all the characters in it are like polygonal. And there's not really a story as far as I know yet. Mm-hmm. But it's basically a bunch of sequences that you're like, It's sort of like a physical puzzle is how I described it, sort of, where you're like, there are people with weapons and you have to figure out how to take them out before they land one on you. Truly only land one. Even if it's like a hit, you're done. You have to start over. And my girlfriend took a video of me that is one of the more humiliating things I've ever seen of myself.
Yeah.
And if these spam emails are to be believed, these people have some crazy videos of me. but I'm like, truly like ducking behind something, one, that is not in front of me, two, to avoid something that is not going to hit me at all. Like, I look yes. ridiculous. And the next day I was like, I'm sore because I was like moving around.
Yeah.
Like squatting and stuff, and I love it. I can't wait to explore some more games in there. I did get Vader Immortal and only played the training. And I was like, is this it? And I didn't realize I hadn't clicked the like story part of the game, like at all. I was only playing like the simulation stuff. And I was like, this is it. This rocks. But there's more to it than that. So I'm excited to see that. And maybe I'll play Resident Evil 4 VR. But I'm scared. I'm scared of the thought. Even saying it right now, I'm spooked.
I saw that, and because that one I think is an Oculus exclusive.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, fuck, that would be so cool. But also, I got scared in the like, here's how to use the Oculus demo when you hit a tetherball.
Oh.
Like, that was like, I was like, I don't know if I could handle the undead lurching at me.
That, that demo, I showed it to my girlfriend, and when there's a part where you can dance with a robot, and as soon as that started happening, she was like, take this off of me. she was unnerved by the thought of dancing with a robot that's not there.
I looked back, and I was trying to find our text thread where I talked about this, and I told you like I'd picked up an Oculus, and I said, Oculus self-contained, you don't need additional hardware if you don't want. And you replied, so I don't need a PC to run Oculus. I reply nope at 8:32 a.m. At 8:39 a.m., you post a screenshot. Matthew, thanks for your order of an Oculus headset. Let's talk Kojima a little bit. So,
yeah.
You know, I think there's a few things to touch on. One thing I just wanted to talk about real quick, and we don't have to dwell on this too much, but like, I feel like, you know, we are kind of subscribers of auteur theory here. And I think like dedicating an entire mm-hmm. month to one creator kind of, you know, endorses that. I think, you know, Kojima does have obviously he has a very strong hand in what he creates and has a very clear voice. But like, I think there are some, you know, frequent collaborators of his that, you know, we could maybe shout out, and maybe, you know, I think we've talked about some, but, you know, like Yoji Shinkawa is one who is a, you know, character and mecha designer and art director on a lot of his games. And like, you know, I feel like these games are so visually distinct and also have such great art direction. Like, it's why like an MGS2, which we played last year, or a Snake Eater, which we played this year, are still just like, were pretty early 3D games, but still look fucking relatively early 3D games, but still PS2 games, but still look pretty fucking good because they have good art direction.
Well, this is the 20th anniversary of the release of Metal Gear Solid 2. That game is fucking ancient. There are people who you meet in VR chat who are fully cognitive, conscious individuals who were born long after.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The release of Metal Gear Solid. Like, for us, it's like a fucking, it's like a Beatles album. It's like, oh, this thing that existed before I was born.
I didn't even think about that timeline.
It's fucked.
Like, what's the conversion? It's like the distance between like Metal Gear Solid 2 and like,
and your birth would
and
be
my
like
birth was, yeah,
Led Zeppelin or something, right?
Yeah, no, it might be, no, from Metal Gear Solid 2 to my birth, it would have been something like Linkin Park.
Linkin Park is your Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
It's your, what I think of as the Dave Clark 5.
And see, what I thought was the Weezer song. Even that.
Yeah, I that's always a thing. We talked Space Race a little bit, our Mario Solid 3 episode, and then yeah. Like, oh yeah, wasn't the moon landing in like, it was like in the late 60s?
Yeah,
and so
69.
Yeah, and so it's just like, wait, that's like when Red Dead Redemption 1 came out, like, of, like that many years ago from now is like the distance between my birth and the fucking, you know, and when man landed on the moon. It's just weird. The passage of time, the slow decay of time.
I know, it's coming for us all.
I keep thinking about, like, 20 years before I was born was cuneiform, I think, was the existence of cuneiform was, like, the first written language.
Right, right.
And that feels so long ago to me.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like, I think about that as, like, ugh, the shit that happened before I was born.
I know, like what? Like cells separating and stuff like that. Just even think about it. Atoms colliding.
The point I was making is that like it's I think that the you know the aesthetic of these games visually is so striking, and also just it's so well executed that it's aged well. And so, you know, I as much as we try to like as much as we talk about our fandom for Kojima and his works on here, I think it's also like, yeah, everyone he works with and at Konami and Kojima Productions, it's just like there's a lot of people in his, you know, crew who make these games too. All these things are fucking collaborations between massive teams.
That, though, is also like, I guess not to give him more credit, but like I feel like in other fields as well, like the people that you ascribe, like the people that you think make good things, like, you know, auteurs and stuff, they know how to pick the people they work with, right? So that's also like a taste thing where they're like, oh, they recognize talent in others where they're like, hey, you need to come work with me on this thing. So like he knows how to pick them. He knows that everybody on the staff is good because they have to be, because he's like, you're coming. They're the best people in the biz.
And speaking of which, David Hayter, the voice actor behind Solid Snake for much of the series, though there was a much derided pivot to Kiefer Sutherland, in part five, Hayter's voice work is so in the English VO of the Metal Gear Solid franchise is so good. And then also his career is just like staggering, even apart from his work as a voiceover artist.
Yeah.
Because he wrote the first two X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Like that alone, he wrote the first two X-Men movies and co-wrote Watchmen. The Zack Snyder version.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you just think of that, it's like that is enough. Like could just be that and be like, wow, this is this guy who's going to fucking, you know, do signings at Comic-Con or whatever.
Yeah.
But he also is the voice actor, the voice behind one of the most iconic characters in video games.
I feel like when you hear about people like that, their own careers do them a disservice because like, You it's hard to hold in your head. Here's a dude who voice acts for video games, which is, as far as I know, still a mostly non-union voiceover gig. Like it is not like a well compensated career path.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a career, but I feel like there until recently weren't a ton of SAG, which is the Screen Actors Guild union, there weren't a lot of union work, or there wasn't a lot of union work to be had in the voiceover industry for video games.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, there are a lot of these companies, especially the bigger studios, are SAG-AFTRA, but it's not like a great, you know, it's not a great rate. And I know that being in those voiceover booths for video games can be particularly punishing because you've got so many lines of dialogue you have to do, you know, so many options, especially if it's a narrative with dialogue trees or whatever. But then also you've got to do all the like the grunts and groans and screams and yelps, and you've got to take those so many times that that's just like an enormous strain on you physically.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I know it's not a particularly pleasant or lucrative career is being a video game voiceover artist.
And now they have like, I'm thinking of like in the Spider-Man game, there's like dynamic like changes between dialogue. So like if you start a conversation on the ground and then start swinging, the conversation will pick up as Peter Parker, and he's like, you know, like a little more out of breath because he's like,
right,
That's just a lot of extra work. That sucks. And yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, I can't do that. Like, that seems like, like, that's how I know I'm a bad actor, because if you asked me to give me my best, like, I got hit, I'd be like, ow, like, it's bad.
It's also funny, like, I mean, assuming that that isn't, like, procedurally generated or something, the idea that it would be like, okay, for this take, you're going to do your first two words, and then you're going to swing into action. Okay, for this take, your first three words, and then you swing into action.
Yeah.
On this one, you are swinging at the beginning and you stop two words in. You are hanging upside down and he let go. Somebody let go of the button.
Yeah.
So you're plummeting during this part of the dialogue and then you catch yourself. Yeah.
It's like, for me, it would be like, hey, so you just got spotted by, you know, an enemy combatant. And I'd be like, oop.
it's not particularly glamorous work, as is my understanding. But hey, you know, it adds a lot to these games, and I think Hader is a big part of why you know, audiences in the English speaking world responded to this franchise.
I haven't played much of Metal Gear Solid 5. I was like aware that they changed it for, you know, they put Kiefer in, and remember being annoyed by that at the time also, and being like, where's my guy? But yeah, Hader's performance is like, there's not another voice. Like, I don't know. It's just so perfect to me. It's such a perfect, voice for that character. It's very, very good.
Do you think that the Kiefer, you know, look, this is a wild swing at a conspiracy theory that I have no information behind what I'm about to suggest. But being that Kojima is so into the metagame of things, do you think that Kiefer replaces David Hayter because Kojima knew that he was being removed from the project and therefore it was a fake snake?
I wouldn't put it past him, but I also think there's a chance because, you know, he attempted to apparently recast Hader before for a celebrity. I think there's an aspect of Kojima that's just a star fucker. I think there's a part of, yeah, it was like he wanted to get Kurt Russell in earlier. He wanted to get Kurt Russell for Snake Eater. That didn't work out. So I think there's probably a part of him just being like, oh, I can get a celebrity. And he was excited about that. But I honestly have no idea. That's also just baseless speculation.
No.
I mean, it's like who you would. The thing is, like, at the time, 24 had probably been off. Maybe was still on the air, or like maybe was about, you know, had been off for like a year or two or something.
Yeah.
He's who you would ask. Like to do a game like that. Like, he's like the guy you would go to. He's like, hey, this kind of stoic guy. But it is, yeah, it's a little, I don't know. It's weird that it's weird. I would love there to be a story reason for it. I would like to, I'm going to play it soon, I think.
Soon, meaning in time for next year's edition.
Yeah, I think if I start after this recording, I could finish it by next November, I think.
Guys, I love these games. I love these games, but I don't know if we can do this another year. Like, it's a lot.
The podcast or the Steam work.
Both, all of it. How do I unsubscribe from my own podcast?
Wait, I want to look at November 2022 real quick. Go on, Heather.
You want to look at it?
Yeah, I want to see what.
He's going to see what happens.
There's 5 Mondays in November 22 as well, because we've ran into this 2 years in a row, and I can't imagine it's possible calendar wise for that to happen again. But our release day is Mondays. No, there's only 4 Mondays in November 2022.
All right, we might be able to do this.
Yeah,
I do want to say about Kojember, being that this is my second month of ever playing Kojima games in my life beyond Death Stranding's initial release, his games have, you were talking about auteur theory earlier, they have such a specific feeling that I don't, like, I do wish that when the Metal Gear games were coming out on PlayStation 2, that they'd been recommended to me as like anime games as opposed to military games, because I didn't give them the time of day because I just saw photos of a military dude and I was like, no, I'm not fucking playing this. Like, I want to play Katamari Damacy. It's PlayStation 2 time.
Yeah.
Right. But there,
you thought it was like Siphon Filter or something.
Yeah. Yes, exactly that. Like, I was like, Rainbow Six, and I don't want to play any of that shit. But if somebody had been like, no, 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 he fights a dude who's made out of bees, I would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's anime. I hadn't realized.
Yeah, yeah. Got it. And I was living abroad at the time, so I didn't have access to commercials, and there was no YouTube when this shit came out. So there was no way for me to know. If you pick up the box for these games, they just look like serious military thrillers. They don't look like a game where a dude's going to be like, I fucking ate that rat and I hated it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's goofy.
Who's Godzilla? And,
yeah.
Well, also, I think there's a contingent of gamer who that stuff is what bothers them. It's like the stuff that we think is cool. It's like the Sopranos fan who, and I'm not comparing the Metal Gear Solid series to Sopranos, but just to talk about something else that kind of had mainstream popularity, but also has like people who are like kind of, you know, have more of a like it for its more pretentious aims. Like, there were people who just watched Sopranos for the strip club scenes and the murders, you know?
Yeah.
And then there was also that was part of why it was had such a huge appeal. And then there are also people who were like, oh, I want to watch this long episode about Tony's therapist having a lucid dream. You know what I mean? It's like, I think some of the weirder shit that we like are also like is off-putting to people who just want to have a fun stealth game where you can fucking sneak up behind dudes and strangle them and headshot others.
It's the same group. It's like, maybe it's a similar group of people that are like, there's too much walking in Death Stranding, where we're like, I love walking around this fucking place. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Look at him walk.
this episode is airing after our final Death Stranding episode. So I do want to reiterate something I probably said last week, which is, That is not the game. It's not just walking.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Should we talk about Hideo's book a little bit?
Let's talk about it.
Okay, so The Creative Gene came out, and we were all very excited about this. This is an English translation of, I don't know when this was originally published in Japanese.
I think 2018, remember.
Got it. So the English translation finally came out this year, and we all grabbed it. And again, pretty excited about it. But reading through it, it's interesting because it really is. Let me give you a sense of, here's what part two is called. Part two, things I liked at a certain time or place.
Yeah.
Really, so much of the book is just Kojima describing things that he enjoyed and why he enjoyed them.
Yes.
Like usually pieces of media.
It is the codec book. Like, it is just somebody being like, Snake, have you ever heard of this album by the Bee Gees?
What?
The Bee Gees?
It's an album from the 1970s, and it really, like, the book is just descriptions of fucking albums or books or movies.
Yes.
And I was bummed out reading the book, which is, I expected some sort of insight into a creative process, being that the book is called The Creative Gene.
Right.
Like, I was like, oh, man, maybe he's going to talk about, like, in order, and I think the intro to the book gives you that. It's like, you know, in order to find new ideas, I follow the same path to work every week, and I go into the same bookstore, and I walk aimlessly up and down the aisles, because that's how spontaneity will occur. Like, I think he talks at some point about listening to Low Roar in a coffee shop, and that ends up being sort of transcribed as an experience into Death Stranding. And I was like, oh shit, this is the crunchy, juicy shit right here. This is awesome. I can't wait. And then the rest of the book is just book reports. It's really a bummer.
The introduction is called, the introductory chapter is Memes Are What Connect Us.
Yeah. And
I was like, oh, let's fucking go. Yeah, here we go.
I do want to point out, though, that the word memes appears on the table of contents page 3 times. This guy loves memes. Memes Are What Connect Us is the introduction. Part one is called My Lovable Memes. And then the afterword is From Memes to Strands. So he's done with memes by the time he gets to the afterword. He's on strands right now. There's just not a lot to it. It is very much like your friend being like, hey, I like this thing, and here's why, and that's it. I just like this thing. And like, he does that in the games. You get a real sense of that. Like, something we didn't really talk about in Metal Gear is when you save the game and paramedic, you can never just get out of the save menu. You got to hear a long story from paramedic. And she's usually telling you about some movie in great detail. It's a movie or some other, like a book or something, some story. It's just, that's all his stuff where he's just like, yeah, I like this. I'm going to talk about the Seven Samurai or whatever for a second. And have this character explain Seven Samurai to Snake and the work of like Kurosawa. And he's like, huh?
Yeah, and the save, the saving through the codec, as you described, is like a convention of the series. Like, that's a thing that you see in all the entries. The book reminds me of, there's like an episode of Seinfeld where Elaine is ghostwriting J. Peterman's memoirs, and she buys a bunch of stories off of Kramer. And then at a certain point, she's like, some of these are because J. Peterman's life is uninteresting, but Kramer's is like great. And so she buys a bunch of stories off of Kramer's. But then she's like, a lot of this is unusable. This is just a list of things in his apartment. And I was like, that's kind of what the book is. It's just like, I watched Sex and the City. It was pretty good. Check it out. All right. Great. Yeah.
Like, if I had to write a book, I would also probably just do this. I like Seinfeld. Like, that's a chapter. That's it. Just like somebody scrambling, getting to a deadline. Oh shit, I said I'd write a book. I like this book. I'll just talk about that for a second.
But even then, you'd have a take on it, Apodaca. You wouldn't just be like, I like this. I like it so much. What a great book. I had a good time reading it. Yeah. It's got a good story in it. This is a good part of the story that I remember. Like, it's like, there was an old Saturday Night Live sketch where Chris Farley would just reiterate something that he saw in a movie. He'd be like, oh, you remember that part in Jurassic Park where the dinosaurs got loose?
Yeah.
And the other character goes, yes. And he's like, oh, that was awesome. That's what this whole book is. It's just somebody just saying, this is great.
This rocks. Yeah.
And there's nothing beyond that. I even feel like the data chips in Death Stranding, this is the book. Like, you can collect like a CD, and it's just like the movie Thelma was released in 2016, and it had one of these fantastic soundtracks that I listen to all the time. And that's like as much information as you're going to get out of the creative gene, which I'm only frustrated by because I went into it looking for something. Like to climb into that dude's head and be like, what's the process?
Yeah, I thought this was going to be like a master class or something in text form.
Yeah.
And it's not really that. That said, it's a really cool looking volume.
I'm
holding it up right now. I'm happy to have it on my shelf along with my Stardew Valley guidebook in hardcover.
So you have two books now, huh?
Well, those in the Holy Bible.
Oh, yeah. It's
so
right.
Three. Yeah.
The good book.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Today, I got some snacks for Matt and I to try based on and inspired by our playing of Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater.
Wow.
And those snacks I got were Calorie Mate in multiple flavors, which both Matt and I don't believe I think I had it drunk once in Japan, but I'm pretty sure I've never actually had Calorie Mate while conscious. So we're going to try it live on the podcast today.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. It's time. We have a Metal Gear food stuff, and we're going to see if it's good or not. It's time for Snake or Whack.
Snake or whack. So if it's good, it's snake.
It's good, it's snake. And if it's okay. Whack, it's whack.
Got it.
We also have some snake sponsored, some David Hayter readings of whether or not something is good. So if we like it, you'll hear David Hayter saying whether or not we liked it.
Wow.
What flavor are you going to try first? Because there's one flavor I can't eat because it interacts with my medicine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Should I do that one first?
I mean, no, do that one in the middle somewhere.
Okay.
Because I feel like we should try it together.
Be
and get a
up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A strand snack.
Yeah, a strand snack. And Nick, I'm holding up. I have multiple ones for you also. If you ever come by my house and pick up that Death Stranding shirt that I imported for you months ago.
Oh, yeah, I got to do that. I'll train over.
It's a pinkish one. I can't really see what the.
I have red, black, and pink.
I opened the pink one first.
All right, pink. Pink.
I can't see what it says, but this is what some of the copy on the packaging says. Calorie Mate Block contains a nutritionally balanced source of the energy needed for daily activities. Calorie Mate Block is great for people who are always on the go, needing an easy way of consuming energy and nutrition, whether it's for breakfast, work, sports, study, or any busy time. That's on any busy time.
Any busy time.
And
it's
Heather,
kind of like, yeah. Like a Soylent. It's pre-Soylent Soylent, right? It's just like a nutritional bomb that's more efficient and shelf-stable than normal food.
If that, I mean, maybe shelf-stable, but like the amount of sugar in this is a little off-putting to me. Because there's, it's 400 calories per block. And there's 42 grams of sugar in it.
Jesus.
Which is a lot of fucking sugar.
Okay, so
all
we're
right, ready,
eat
Matt?
The full
no,
case of these.
No. I'm having one bite.
Okay. Oh, right, what flavor is it supposed to be? It smells like coffee.
Oh,
would
God,
you say
I hope
so?
It's not coffee. Mine doesn't smell like coffee to me. All right, here we go.
Calorie Mate, and I can't remember if we talked about this on our Metal Gear Solid 3 episode. But either way, it didn't debut until the 80s, 1983. Metal Gear Solid 3 obviously set in the 60s. So,
well,
you know.
I kind of like it.
Oh, okay.
I like it. It has like a, what's that? It has a shortbready quality to it. Right,
where
it's sort of like that kind of texture, that sort of mouth feel. Flavor indeterminate. I don't know what it says, and based on what it says, I can't really get what it is. Here are the ingredients: wheat flour, flavored fat spread, sugar, egg, almond. It could be more almondy tasting. Non-fat milk powder, soy protein, wheat protein, processed orange, which I don't get. Starch, salt, sodium, caseinate, modified starch, and flavors. So there are flavors in this.
Well, the only difference between that one and the black Calorie Mate is that the black one also contains natural cheese.
Okay.
Oh, I got to open that one up next, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So the flavors of Calorie Mate are... The first one that debuted in 1983 is cheese, followed up by fruit in 1984, then chocolate in 93, maple in 2009, and then finally, in 2014, they introduced their newest flavor, plain.
Wow. I wonder if that one was plain.
Could have been.
You gotta have a plain option. Plain's good.
You gotta.
It's a crumbly cookie.
But wait, are we rating them each, or
Yeah, mine would be a negative. Like, it's a negative rating for me.
Well, I liked it. So
all right, why don't you rate the first one and I'll rate the second one.
We can be split. That's okay. It's split. You know, I gave it a snake, and Heather gave it a whack. So I'm gonna play these just real quick.
This tastes great. I want some more.
And that's Matt.
And then here's Heather.
This is horrible.
All right, let's go on to the next Calorie Mate, the one that has natural cheese in it.
Okay, here we go. They're honestly pretty.
Oh no!
This one's very crumbled up in here.
Ready?
Oh, it smells like cheese.
And people like this. People like just like a podcast where you taste things and say if it's good or bad. That's like good content.
People go crazy for it.
Huh. Okay.
God, that fucking sucked too. Yeah. Matt can't swallow.
This one is bad. This one is quite bad.
What are you tasting? Is it like rotten? Is
not
it cheesy
rotten.
At all?
No, it's just that it shouldn't be cheese.
Got it.
It tastes like cheese and it shouldn't. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Yuck.
Yeah, that was yuck. The original flavor.
So what do we think? Are we giving that a...
That was two thumbs down, buddy. Play us the clip.
This is horrible.
Wow, what a clip.
All right, my third and final taste.
Okay.
Is the blood-colored packaging.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have that one. I'm guessing this one's chocolate, actually.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because it's got chocolate in it. Chocolate spread.
Yeah, so if I had to guess... Sense. Then we had the cheese. Well, I think the first one we had is plain. I think my final might be fruit, Heather, based on what we know is inside of it. Grapefruit.
Whoa. This one, I don't know if it was because the other ones were so destroyed, but this one looks completely different to me.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Okay, wait a second.
Yeah,
it smells good.
It looks like a Lego block. Here we go.
It does, very much so. Matt and Heather are chewing. Some vigorous mastication.
Yeah, that's the fucking Calorie Mate right there.
This one rocks. Yeah, this one's
great.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're on the hunt for Calorie Mate, get the chocolate flavored one because it's pretty good.
Is it like akin to like a chocolate protein bar or something?
No.
Like a keto bar? No.
Imagine you took this is an honest attempt to describe what I just ate.
Okay.
You took Count Chocula and you put it into some kind of compactor so that it got as much of the Count Chocula all crushed together, hyper dense, like biting into the driest, densest Christmas cookie, but it vaguely tastes of Count Chocula. That's what Calorie Mate chocolate tasted like. The cheese one tasted like a mistake.
Yeah.
Like a real, boy. It was like a... Like,
that was
like,
rough.
Like it had gone bad, but it was supposed to taste like
it
that.
It started at a zero for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Not very good. This one.
Yeah.
You can sort of see what they're going for with this. This is, you know, this is a treat. This is like, hey, you're out, you know, deep in the jungle. They intended this for stealth missions, you know.
Yeah. Tired of tree frogs.
Yeah.
Just want to have some real food.
A possibility. I can see. Well, oh no, never mind. There's barely any protein in this. How do they consider this a meal replacement? There's only 8 grams of protein and 40 grams of sugar.
I don't ever understand how that actually is supposed to work.
It's not supposed to be that ratio.
Because, yeah, like any like this, if I ate, it comes with two packages and each package has two little sticks of the protein. If I eat this whole box, I'd still be hungry, okay? I'd want actual food. This isn't going to do it. I know calorie-wise, it's going to get me there, but I need some give me a freaking sandwich. I don't need this.
Well, I think that low value nutrition, like that stuff that's just like loaded with sugars, can give you like a short burst of energy, but then you crash, you know.
So Heather, what would you say? Was that was a snake?
Yeah, that tasted great.
Okay, and I have one more that Heather is not going to try.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it has grapefruit in it, and that interacts with my the medication that I'm on. You can't eat grapefruit.
I'm guessing that this is the fruit, because it smells generally fruity.
Okay.
Not, and it doesn't sound like they have a flavor that's just grapefruit. Here we go.
Matt is chewing. Curious expressions on his face.
Wow. That one's interesting. That's you know, you get a lot of grapefruit in it, I will say. Mm. Not so much in smell, but in taste for sure. This one, you know, I'm trying to think about what it's like. You know those like, oh, here we go. You know those cookies, those like Knott's Berry Farm cookies with a little bit of jam?
Oh, yeah. Are those national? I always think of those as a vending machine staple, but is the Knott's brand known nationwide?
I don't know. If you're a SoCal kid, like Nick and I, we used to go fucking crazy for these cookies. They're like shortbread cookies with a little bit of jam in it.
This tastes like a thumbprint cookie.
Yeah. This tastes like that, but like they had scooped out the jam before, and you don't get the jam.
So it's just the shortbread.
Yeah, but it's got a little smackerel of like jam essence, like a little something was there before. Yeah. So not terrible. Definitely not the worst of the three. I'd say maybe the second best one. If I had to rank them all, and I will after this. This one is a snack. This one's a snake. It's a snake. I said snake, not snack.
Okay.
This tastes great. I want some more.
But yeah, I would say for me, the chocolate one, number one, duh, fruit, then maybe this plain one, and then DQ the cheese one. The cheese one sucks ass. I hated that.
Man.
I looked up what flavors we ate.
Okay.
Because I ordered them. I just looked them up. And the flavors we ate in order were maple taste.
Oh, maple. That makes sense now.
Then cheese, then chocolate, and then fruit.
Okay. So we were off only by one, really. That's pretty good. The maple one, now that I know it's maple, I think I changed my answer.
What, to bad?
No. I think it's good, but I think it's second.
Interesting.
Okay.
It might be gunning for number one now.
Not sure I follow, but fine.
I just like maple.
Additionally, there's three kinds of calorie mate. Block, jelly, and can.
Yes.
Did you say that already? Well,
these
were
all blocks.
Yeah, we had block.
Yeah.
Did you say that there was jelly and can?
I don't think I did, but I knew that.
Well, you said it like you'd already said it to me, and I was dumb for not listening.
I didn't mean it like that. No, do you think I was the just jelly? Saying, like, yes, you're correct.
Maybe I'll only give you the cheese kind, Nick. When you come pick up your shirt, I'll just swap them all out. I'll open the boxes and I'll just cheese kind.
Maybe I'll like the cheese kind, but no, that would be right up my alley.
You freaking rat.
It would. It would.
You fucking dirty rat. Do you think the jelly ones are like those like bars in Snowpiercer that are made of roaches? Have you seen Snowpiercer?
Yeah, but I know. Okay, no, they're not like that.
Okay.
There's a jelly energy drink that they sell in Japanese grocery stores. That's like a jelly. It's like squeezing jelly into your mouth.
It's more like that, not like a solidified gelatinous cube of roaches.
No. It's not roaches.
Okay. That was snake or whack.
Wow.
Snake or whack.
Fun segment.
Do you think it's got legs?
Probably not.
Snakes never have legs. Am I right, guys?
Okay. So now I love that. That's great.
I think we should close things off before we get to our mailbag with some music.
Ooh.
We've each got a track from a Kojima game that we're going to sort of play and say why we like it. And then we'll answer some questions. And hey, I'll start things off. This is the end credits theme from Metal Gear Solid 1, which we haven't covered on the show. The best is yet to come.
Ooh, I love that.
My dad would like this.
Your dad sounds cool.
This is kind of this era, this, you know, Saturn, PlayStation 1, PC CD-ROMs, when you'd actually just get like, oh, there's just a song in this game.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's oftentimes like a thing you earned. It's like, wow, I finished this game and there's this song playing. It's this cool song. And now I know about this song. And you know what? Hey, I can take the CD-ROM and put it in a regular CD player. And if I skip to track two, I can just listen to the soundtrack.
Is that how that worked?
Sometimes they would have, like, the... I think that was the Redbook Audio. It would just have, like, tracks of the soundtrack that you could just play in a CD player.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, this song's great.
Great song. Great pick, Nick. Fantastic pick.
Thank you. Can we... Do we get, like... Does Scripps ever, or SiriusXM ever get mad that we're just, like, playing music on this show? Because I never know how the rights of it work.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of heavy lifting here, thinking anyone's heard this. I do think it is, like, if you want a boring answer, it's like we're talking over it and we're not playing that much of it. And, you know, it's for commentary. I think it's fine.
My commentary... I like it.
Yeah, we're doing sort of Kojima's book in audio form. Hey, here's something we liked. It's pretty good.
Yeah. There you go.
I'll go next, just because I feel like chronologically... We'll just go chronologically, right?
You got it.
I love it.
This is just... We didn't talk about a lot of the music. We obviously... We covered Snake Eater a couple weeks ago, and... played the titular song, but there's like great music buried in that game, like throughout it. Like a lot of the boss stages have great games, themes and stuff like that. But this music, this little piece of music, is just like the music for it's titled CQC, and it's from Metal Gear Solid 3. And let's just give this a little play here. It's like the menu music. But it's also like in the game too. It rocks.
I've never written or done anything in my life that has as much emotional impact as this song has.
Yeah, it really sets a tone, right?
Like I've never made anyone feel anything as intensely as this makes you feel just loading a fucking game.
Yeah. On your belly in the jungle, trying not to be seen. Eating a fucking bug.
Yeah, this is great.
Seeing a little plastic frog and shooting at it.
I should put this on my boxing mix, which is the music, since I'm the only person in the gym, which is how early I go every day.
Rise and grind.
I'm making a boxing playlist because I get to control the speakers in the gym. And a lot of it's like fucking My Hero Academia, Naruto songs. Yeah. Like, why the fuck not? But I should add this. It's a pretty good like focus. Oh, it's time to focus. Maybe that'll be like my push-ups song.
Yeah, it has a very like tactical energy to it. Yeah, you have to be very intentional when you're listening to that song.
Harry Gregson-Williams did a lot of the music composition, the scoring. We mm-hmm. played a lot of the songs, but the scoring for these games, I think he started with, I don't think he was worked on Metal Gear Solid 1, but Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, and beyond, and Norihiko Hibino also contributed on the MGS2 and MGS3 soundtracks.
Just great stuff, great scoring in both.
Yeah.
Really atmospheric, like makes you feel like you are like this weird man who is a spy.
He's a weird guy.
He's weird.
He's weird.
Naked Snake's weird.
What do you mean, Star Wars? Well, he just never heard of anything, this guy. Obviously, it hadn't come out yet, but.
What do you mean, t-shirts? Well, Snake, t-shirts are a form of casual wear that doesn't have a collar or sleeves or buttons. You just put them on and then you can go out. That's crazy.
I would like to see him on his like day off. Like we saw him with like Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yes.
Like that's not really day off. He's still on the job there. But like, what does he go do after that? He's like, well, you know, time to watch some TV I've been hearing about.
He's in a grocery store and he's like, what? At everything. Like, he's like, pick up an apple. What the, what?
Paramedic, could you fact check this price for me? Like, that's not, I don't do that.
The song I've chosen is from last week's game, Death Stranding. And I talked a lot about last week. I talked a lot about the sense of place and time that game gave me when we picked it up again.
Mm-hmm.
But no song in the game anchors me in that place and time more than this one, which the only reason it's the most iconic song from the game for me is because for some reason, every structure in my game, the first time I played it, was either this or the Gen Hoshino, his song Pop Virus, and this were the only songs anybody used on their structures in my game. So I heard it constantly while playing. It's from Low Roar, and the track name is
Easy Way Out.
Heard you call my name. Well, I'm passing out.
This game is so lonely, and this song is so lonely.
Yeah.
But it feels so much like a December of absolute naivete.
Yeah.
I had no fucking idea what was about to happen in the world or to me.
That took the easy way out.
Is it possible I never heard this song?
That took the easy
No, you must have heard this.
It's not sticking out to me, but it's very good.
This was the most used song in my Strand experience. And the best way to replicate it would be to start it really low and then turn it up as if you're walking towards a thing and then turn it down again.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
And then you hear this also.
Beef okay.
You try to press the button to like the structure, but instead you just yell out, hello, anyone there?
Mules see you immediately.
Yeah.
Now the vibe's different.
Such a good song.
Love all the Low Roar on the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Three very different feelings.
Yeah, three different vibes.
But all somehow similar.
It's true. Well, hey, we played a bunch of Kojima games this month, and you have some thoughts that you wanted to share. Let's get into some of those right now. It's time for your review crew, the Ryu Crew.
Hello, Logan!
All right, so we played four games this month. Just to refresh, they were Police Knots, Boktai, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, and Death Stranding Director's Cut. not a lot of no representation when I asked for your reviews of Police Knots. And I think that's just because very few people have played it because it was not released in the States. So our
people were still mad about our review.
Yeah, they were mad. A lot of the feedback
we never
got
played this game, but fuck you.
Yeah, they're mad at us. So my first review here is for Boktai, and it's from @SingleVersusJosh on Twitter, and they write, "I really wanted to play Boktai when it came out, but I was a child, so I relied on my parents to get me games, and it wasn't at our local Walmart, so they never got it for me. I then confused it with Golden Sun. I guess my review is that Golden Sun is a better name for this game." Very good. Made me laugh.
Golden Sun is good.
Golden Sun is something that I was always interested in and never played, but it was always like, that looks cool.
Yeah, I have no idea how it's aged, but as a GBA JRPG, it was a lot of fun.
It always seemed like, I was like, that seems like it's like maybe a little too much for me. I'm going to get confused. I don't know what's going on. Back to my Pokemon. This next one is from @MattyPeeps on Twitter, and this is about Metal Gear Solid 3. And they write, MGS3 is a great game, but I could honestly go without constantly having to do surgery on myself. Recently played it via PlayStation Now streaming and had a lot of fun, though. It's incredibly complex, letting you kill a boss prior to the typical encounter. Love those Kojima secrets. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Maddie, for writing in.
Thank you, Maddie.
And finally, this one's from @VinceUnderwood on Twitter, and they write, this is for the Death Stranding Director's Cut. And they write, "Death Stranding is a game I don't think I enjoyed playing, but enjoyed having played it. The experience has left an impression on me, and I'm still thinking about it almost daily. It was dark and ineffable and existentially anxiety-inducing at every turn, but also a brilliant work of art. 10 out of 10. You're actually the only person that actually gave a score, so Vince Underwood, I congratulate you for... I guess I didn't ask you to do that, but thanks for doing it.
Thanks for going above and beyond.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody for writing in.
Keep on keeping on. It's time for the question block. Ba-ding!
All right, this one's from Ross McCarthy from our email, and the subject line is Recreation Inside Games. And they write, "Hey guys, I was wondering if you have any games that you've beaten but love so much that every now and again you go back in just to spend some time in the world. For me, I love shield surfing down Mount Hebra in Breath of the Wild or ziplining near the beach at the abandoned island in Tomb Raider 2013.
Those are the shield sliding is a good answer. I mean, it's a lot of fun to just move around in Breath of the Wild. I'll say that Yakuza 0. I was really getting into, you know, I was really getting into a lot of the mini games. Mm-hmm. Like some of those are really, really fun. The slot car racing is really engaging. And I mean, they are so hit and miss, but the ones that hit really hit.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one that I think of in that category in terms of like, well, like I pretty much finished the game. I mean, I'm overpowered at this point to beat the last boss, but I gotta finish this. All these slot car sub stories, you know.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I'm thinking about Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm.
Sometimes I'll just pop in there, hop on the horse, maybe stop a bandit or two, you know, collect a bounty, and then just get out of there. That's it. Just like see what's going on in the world. Be like, all right, is everybody on their best behavior? No, ta-ta-ta, bam, 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 bam.
The in Death Stranding Director's Cut, you know, there's the firing range, but within the firing range, there's the challenges, and I've had a lot of fun with those. That I guess it's called the training simulator, whatever it's called. But you can go in there, and then it'll just be a task like, you know, going around and trying to evade a certain number of enemies and get to an endpoint. It'll just be like it's just like a VR stealth mission, basically. Or, you know, there's a bunch of different blow up a bunch of different targets with grenades under a certain time limit. And I find those really fun because that is just like, okay, well, I've explored the story and I know the world, but now I just get to mess around with the gameplay elements a little bit. It reminds me of the VR missions on Metal Gear Solid 1 of just like, oh, this is just the core gameplay distilled. And it's fun on just those terms.
That was the way that I felt about Final Fantasy VII Remake's like battle theater.
Oh, yeah.
I was so frustrated by not getting to do combat enough that when we finally unlocked the battle theater, I spent more time in the battle theater than I did in much of the rest of the game, just like unloading as much of my skills and combo. So good. The other game that I step back into once in a while is Dark Souls or Demon Souls. Just because going through the intro area, knowing how to parry and not really being afraid of any of the like first enemies, the parrying is so satisfying in those games. Like hearing the sound that's like goom, and then you stab somebody in sort of like a slow-mo. That's good combat. So I guess those are my two answers.
Great answers.
I really like a pick up and fight and then put down.
You love to pick him up. You love to put him down.
Some fighting in between.
Yeah, a little bit of fighting. Not that much.
Sure. Is that a reference or are you guys just talking in a way?
Nope. And no.
Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at GetPlayedPod. Send us an email at GetPlayedPod@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 6162PLAY. That is 616-275-2933. Our music and engineering are by Devin Bryant. You can follow me on Twitter at BaffleGabs. And hey, another co-jember in the books. Matt, what's happening next week?
Next week, we're talking VR. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Bucket.
Snake. Snake. Snake!